Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, marriage and family therapist, mentor, educator, eavesdropper, emotion worker. And she uses all of those skills to address the conversations that we should all be having, but quite often avoid. It's 2 o'clock and time for your appointment with the Reluctant Therapist. And Elizabeth, I'm very happy that you made it.
Yes. I don't usually slide into my chair this last minute, but we are here and ready to go.
Well, you can't account for road construction.
That's true. But I'm here. I'm ready. It's going to be a great day here in the chair, as we say in the biz. I actually have a guest in the studio today, Summer Silvera, who I also know as Summer Carter, because I've known her before she was born, if that is possible. But let me say that I've known her mother before she was born, and technically, her mother was carrying her eggs, which Summer would have been one of them, which means I've known Summer before she was born.
I've had that conversation before, yes.
Yes. So I have a guest, but I want to backstory a little bit before we jump into the conversation, because here's what I've been experiencing with this visit from said guest, is that it's an interesting thing. And again, I know I keep talking about it week after week, but my husband and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
On the 25th. Thank you. 5/25/25. Think of us. Send us love. I was 19 when I met Chris, so I was young, super young, and he was 22. But what's interesting is the friends you meet at that time, and one of them being my guest's parents, and they're part of that whole history of your life, because there's something about the friends you make when you're falling in love with your person, that those friends become even more like juicy and important, because they also are holding your history and your story. And so I live in these stories in somewhat the lens of a 19-year-old and maybe a 30-year-old, at times, you know, marked by memories, things we did when the kids were little, taking our Volkswagen buses out and going camping and having Mardi Gras parties, just all those really beautiful things that you do with young kids and a family. And as we've grown and aged and our kids are now grown and have children of their own, and we're all grandparents, it's still really challenging, difficult, a little weird. I'm not sure what the adjective is. When I sit with one of the children that was part of my history that I helped to raise, that is now in the capacity of a professional sitting next to me, we're going to have a grown-up conversation about something that she has an expertise in. And I feel like a little, not out of sorts, but just like, I'm still the same. I don't know how Summer grew into this position of beautiful mother womanhood when I just kind of stayed here holding my own. So I know that that's not a unique experience. I think that's common for all of us as we grow. And it's one of the most beautiful things in the world also to see not only your children grow, but the children of your friends that you love dearly, who then grow into beautiful people who have beautiful children. I feel like our group is mighty, and it's wonderful, and it's still just a little bit weird. And part of me, when I was getting dressed today, because I'm dressed for a festival, if you wanted to get a visual, I'm in festival dress wear today. But I thought for a moment, maybe I should put on something a little more age appropriate, because I am a grandma, and Summer is now, you know, the young woman in the studio. But that's not going to happen. So here we are today. We're going to have a conversation about birthing. And it's not that we've never had a conversation about birthing before. I love the topic, because I am a firm believer that our medicalized Western system of handling birth has terrified women to the point of making birth feel like an emergency. And I think that's a disservice to all of the birthing people to be put in a place that before they even get to the point of actually going through labor, they've been traumatized by the stories and the statistics and, you know, the fear that goes along with it. So I am an advocate for any way that we can retell these stories about birth, reframe our understanding of the birthing process so that we can help other birthing people have better experiences, and not just better experiences, but really beautiful experiences. Because, you know, birth is the most mighty thing you can do with your body. And when you birth, you know that you are part of the world, that you, that Mother Earth thing becomes part of your identity. Like, I am the roots and the trees of our family, and I am the oceans, and I am, right, all of those things. And it's heartbreaking when you hear stories of people saying, well, I'm just going to schedule my C-section so I can get it over with. And I'm like, oh, that's so sad. You're missing such a mighty transition. Or, you know, I started to go and I wanted to have, a vaginal delivery, but my doctor, you know, said it was taking too long. And so we just, you know, went ahead. I couldn't do that. That makes me sad. But then I will always caveat by saying I'm thankful for the medical model, for those times when people who are birthing do get into an actual emergency and need medical assistance. Go team. That is incredibly important. But unfortunately, as my guests will point out, the statistics of the amount of people who should be having C-sections because it's an emergency and the amount of C-sections we do, I'm assuming you know that, is off the charts. And that's where we need to focus. And is why do we have such a giant spectrum of people who are being told they must have a C-section when that's way out of alignment with what the truth is? So that's the essence of today. Hopefully we'll go other places as well, because my guest is also an accredited Montessori teacher and a Donna-trained doula and a certified hypnobirthing instructor and has her own experience as a mother of two. And so I'm looking forward to seeing where the conversation takes us. Also, I think it's nice to get the perspective of someone who is currently in that mothering stage and currently involved in the birthing process, because I'm a little past that, to hear her experiences as well. So this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you're welcome to be part of the conversation today as well by giving us a call at 805-781-3875. I'm sure you already have that on your speed dial, so you'll be ready as soon as you have an idea or question or comment. You can also send me an email after the show to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. I have a really cute cat picture on my Instagram today of our kitty Ted. So make sure you check that out. You can leave me a message there. And you can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org. I think there's 10 years worth of shows that are there. And then you can podcast our show wherever you get your podcasts. I would try out Spotify. We're right there. A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe. And if you leave a review, more people can also find the show. So I'd appreciate that as well. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, start our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
They didn't have you where I come from. Never knew the best was yet to come. Life began.
I got so into the song that I almost forgot what we were doing here.
It's easy to do that, right?
It is. The Chicks, Lullaby, just a beautiful song. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And welcome, Summer Silvera, to my show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Is it weird to talk to me as if we're equals?
It is.
Okay.
But it's also pretty dreamy, because I've always looked
up to
you. You
can't call me by my nickname, though, during the show.
That's
going to
be hard.
Summer came to my classes
that's
yesterday and started nicknaming me in front of my students. I said, oh, no.
Professor Barrett.
Yeah, we'll stick with that. That's fine. But I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I mentioned at the top of the show, I have known you pre-birth and had the opportunity to watch you grow up and turn your life into this beautiful story of marriage and two children and all of these qualifications as an AMS-accredited Montessori teacher, a certified hypnobirthing instructor with your own business, Birthing Beautifully, and then a donor-trained birth doula, and then also somehow fitting in getting your master's right now at SDSU in child and family development. Fabulous.
Yes,
and then you
kind
of started this at Cal Poly in the child development department, which weirdly full circle is where I teach now. But we missed each other by, I think, a year or two. I didn't get to teach
you.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So let's start with your kind of journey to becoming a certified hypnobirthing instructor. And was that the first certification you received, or was the doula certification first?
Hypnobirthing was first.
Fabulous.
Yes.
All right, so take us on the journey to this certification.
The floor
is yours.
Thank you. So it obviously started when I was pregnant, because I'm like, what kind of birth do I want, right? How can I achieve that? I always knew I wanted an unmedicated birth. My mom was so great about being very positive with her birth story. And I just didn't really know. I'm like, how am I going to do that? What am I going to take? What classes?
I have to interrupt them.
Yes.
How many young people, birthing people, actually think, though, what kind of birth do I want?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
What made you think to even ask that question, as if there was an option of different kinds of birth?
I think just knowing the mainstream and what's out there, you know, and we've been raised, like you said, unfortunately, with a lot more horrific birth stories than the powerful ones. And I knew that I wanted, and I'm just so thankful for my mom constantly telling me, like, oh, you flew out, Summy, you know, and it was a really good experience for
her.
We're
built for this.
Yeah, and I think that, and I said that in my courses too, like, that was really lovely to have her instill that. Mm-hmm. But again, I knew that it was going to need extra help. I knew that from my sister as well. She had two different births, and her second birth, she did pick up the hypnobirthing book and she read it. She didn't, unfortunately, take the courses because they weren't offered in Gardnerville, Nevada. But she read the book, and her second birth was different than her first. And it was unmedicated and it was quicker. And so I was like, my sister read hypnobirthing. Let's look into that. And Jessica Alba did it.
Those influencers.
Right, the influencers. And so I was fortunate enough to find a 5-week course in San Diego. It was a little late. The last class was on my guest date.
Oh.
And I say guest date instead of due date. And we'll talk about why that language is important maybe later. But I was like, that's okay. We'll get at least the good juicy stuff in. And my husband and I took the class. And Brandon and I, just a little side note, have been together since we were 16. So I know you were talking about being together with your husband. And so we are high school sweethearts and madly in love. And I knew he was going to be an amazing birth companion. I also knew, though, that we had a lot to learn. And so we took this hypnobirthing classes. There's five. And we had so much fun. I mean, we looked forward to going to them
Which
on
is
this
great.
Saturday. It was like
near the end of your pregnancy when you're not feeling your best, to have something to look forward to.
Yeah, and it was fun. And we laughed and we cried. And it didn't feel scary. I knew that I wanted, like I said, an unmedicated birth. A lot of the reason was because I'm really scared of needles. And I was
that's
just like,
fair.
I just don't want the epidural,
yeah,
you know, and how am
fair.
I going to achieve that? And so it really shifted from like a bit scared of the unknowing to excitement and empowerment. And I really do feel like that is the beautiful part of hypnobirthing. But one thing we do, one exercise that they ask you to do and that I do in my courses is they say, okay, I really want you to start thinking about your birth in detail. The brain likes detail, right? Your subconscious mind. And really, how are you going to give birth? Where are you going to be? What smells are there? Who's there? What time of day is it? How long are you going to labor for? And I'm like, ooh, okay, cool. I get to choose.
Yeah.
And I did. And I was like, well, I'm a morning person. I love the sunrise. So let's be cruising into the hospital as the sun is rising. So, you know, it means I have to go into labor around 2 a.m. so that I could have River, that's my son, around 8 a.m. Sounds great. You know, people will be on their shift. They'll be bright-eyed. Exactly. It's not like rushing movie middle of the night, you know. 6 hours sounds great because that's what my mom did. And Brandon's going to be there. My mom will be there. And then
I'm visualizing this.
And I'm just thinking this at first. And we get to say it out loud. We get to write it down. And then we get to tell everybody. So I'm like, this is how my birth is going to play out. I'm telling people. You must have seen eyes rolling. They're like, oh, okay. I mean, random people. But you really do. That's the meditation part of hypnobirthing, the hypnosis side, one of them. And 40 weeks, there you go. 2:30 in the morning, I go into labor. And Brandon and I are laboring at home. And my surges, contractions, again, language, are 2 minutes apart for almost an hour. I'm like, I think it's time. And we were cruising into the hospital as the sun was rising. And I'm like, no way.
This can't be happening.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You know, I rock up to the hospital. And another really cool tool about hypnobirthing is we encourage birthing moms to wear their own robes. Because you are not a sick patient.
Right.
You know, because hospitals.
This is not an emergency.
And hospitals, you know, don't have the best, like, oh, I'm so excited to go to the hospital, you know.
Right.
But you want to be when you're having a baby. So how can we help you in that process? And so picking your lovely floral gown, right, or your soft, fuzzy robe, whatever makes you feel like a birthing goddess and not a medical sick patient.
Mm-hmm.
Those little details that hypnobirthing does, they really do help. And another one is we encourage, like, an eye mask so that you're in your, you know, you stay in that state of like you are a mammal in your dark cave and you're meditating practically to yourself and you get to stay there instead of looking at your surroundings at the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. So just imagine me like rocking up with the robe and the eye mask and my music on.
Like, don't get in my
way. And I'm like, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate all of you and what you could do. I've got this. we went in and one thing that hypnobirthing does well, again, is really helping during some unnecessary interventions. Unfortunately, like at triage, you do need to have that check, right, to see if you're in labor. We just encourage you to say, cool, I know you need to check me and see if my water released or how far along I am, but you don't need to tell me how far dilated I am because it really doesn't matter.
Interesting.
But it can scare women, right? Imagine I was so in labor and it was intense.
And then if you're only at one or two,
oh my gosh,
right,
and you're like,
and I can't do more than this.
Defeated. Yeah. You know, which you shouldn't be either because our bodies are organic and you can go from a 3 to a 10 like I did an hour and a half, right? And I had River at 8:30 in the morning. It was crazy. I mean, afterwards, it was 6 hours long. And what's interesting, too, is during this time and during the process, I remember, like, taking my mask off and looking at Brandon at one point and going, babe, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And he's like,
you surprised yourself.
Yeah, and he's looking at me like, what do you mean you are doing it? And I think I said that because I always was waiting subconsciously or whatever it was for it to get really bad.
Right.
You know, because unfortunately, even through my 5-week course, even through like going through the training and the practice, it's still there. And it never did. It never got to a point where I was like, I need to tap out. I was like, whoa, this is intense. And it's labor, you know, it's work, but it's not unmanageable. And that was a story that I got to tell women. And I was really excited. Obviously, I had my baby and I was just on cloud nine. I'm like you said, you are Mother Earth. You are empowered. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever done. So after that, and Brandon was amazing. He was the best birth companion. He learned so much. He felt empowered, and he was so happy about hypnobirthing as well.
We're proud of you, Brandon.
Yay. Not surprised. And so after that, I got to tell my birth story to my friends that haven't had babies, and they all got to take hypnobirthing. Care Messer in San Diego is amazing. She's still teaching. Shout out to Care. And they started taking her class. They started having these births that were
so quick. You saw it happening.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't just a fluke.
No.
Right.
That was pretty amazing. And they looked different, but all in all, they felt empowered. And they had the birth that truly they wanted. And I was like, okay, this is wild. I got to go get certified.
Right,
I'm sending so many to Care, and I want to teach this now. I'm so passionate. I want to be part of it. So yeah, I got certified when I was pregnant with my second child, with Avery, through the Hypnobirthing Institute.
And was Avery's as
Avery
storybook?
Was exactly the same. She was 7 hours compared to 6 hours, and she was my New Year's Eve baby that flew out.
Like your mom
like
had
flew out, and that's so my daughter, you know. So, yeah, and actually was, I would say, less intense because a lot of the fear of the unknown was gone. So I was
right.
like,
you weren't tensing up.
Oh
anywhere,
gosh, I was like, I'm totally. I already did this. I got this. My body knows what to do. Like, it was equally as beautiful and lovely. So yeah, I got certified, and I've been teaching since 2016, and it's been magical working with those couples.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Summer Silvera. She is a certified hypnobirthing instructor, a Donna-trained doula, and has a lot of experience in child development and child and family development master's work that she's doing today. And I invited Summer to come in and talk about hypnobirthing, because until you had had that experience, I had never heard of hypnobirthing. It's
great.
I did the Bradley method, which has the piece of turning inward and just allowing yourself to kind of be the mammal. And I loved the Bradley method, and it's husband coach. So my husband felt like he had a, you know, a real part in it. So that worked really well for me. But I wish someone had, again, I wish someone had talked about the idea that you can tell the story to your body of what it is you expect and allow that to be the story. That would have never occurred to me when I had both of my children. That would have felt so far afield. So I'm wondering, how did you allow yourself to buy the story? Was it?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm a yogi, so okay. I think that's the first thing that kind of comes to mind is that I was doing hot yoga 3 days before I gave birth to both my children. And there's a lot of meditative states there, right? And our body is so powerful.
So you already had a little bit of the buy-in of that. Yeah,
of just that. I don't know. I've also always believed in how, you know, your mind is powerful. It's like the secret when the secret came out, you know?
That,
and so
yes.
I think my parents, they've always just been like, put your mind to it, Sam. You can do anything. You can create it. So it came pretty easy to me, but I do think that...
So you didn't have a lot of hesitation? Because I would imagine some people would...
And they do. So as an instructor, I've definitely had... And I kind of get excited about those people because I'm like, ooh, I'm so excited for you to go on this journey with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what hypnobirthing is. It is more of a philosophy. And like you said, a buy-in and kind of a way of life, which is what I love. I love Bradley method, like you mentioned, but that's like very birth centered, you know, and hypnobirthing. Like I always say, like we could hypnobirth our life because a lot of it is breath work, mindfulness, positive affirmations. So I've carried on positive affirmations throughout. I mean, during COVID, I had to write positive affirmations and put them on my mirror, you know, to get me through.
Yes.
I've done it with a lot of different people with like health journeys. Because our mind works through pictures and stories, and it's a powerful tool. So, yes, hypnobirthing teaches techniques and tools and storytelling, but it really is that philosophy and that training. So it's not just taking the 5-week course and being like, bam, I'm good. You do need to put it into practice.
Right.
And that's fun, though. You and your partner get to practice the light touch massage and – you know, different comfort measures and affirmations together, and you have a plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also really important before you have children to be on that same page. It just gets more wild after that, right?
Exactly. Well, because the two, I mean, I do a lot of parent coaching. So, you know, our lives dovetail into each other. And yes, it amazes me how few people think about the process of raising human beings and the intentionality that needs to go into that. I mean, you don't have to, but having that intention and that plan and the goals for your family and your children and visualizing what that looks like really is essential, and it makes the job more pleasurable of parenting. Mm. So I can understand also with the birthing piece, that'd be a great start to the whole visualizing, not just the birth, but also who we are when we leave the hospital with this new person, and now we are visualizing those next steps. I would imagine that's part of that.
It's completely part of the course, which I love too. And that does, again, it's definitely a point of difference between other birthing classes, especially in-hospital birthing classes, you know, compared to that is, and that's why I like that it's a 5-week journey and that we have the time and space to talk about it. And that's actually one of my clients' favorite parts is when I talk about postpartum and what it's going to look like. Because again, it's all the unknown. And I'm like, yeah, we can definitely talk about birth. That's going to be like 6 to 24 hours of your life. There is no epidural for parenting. You know, and so they're like, oh my gosh. Exactly.
Unfortunately.
So they really love to talk about the parenting aspect. That should be a whole nother course, obviously, you know, while they're still pregnant.
Hypno-parenting.
I love it.
So I don't know. I'm setting you up a little bit for this question, but I feel like I want to know. The Lamaze is what people talked about forever. Does Lamaze still exist?
I think it does.
But clearly not as it was when your mom and I were having children.
No. And it's a very heavy breathing, you know, course. That's what I know about is breathing techniques, which is so great. The bit of research that I've done and just knowing hypnobirthing so well, the difference is the educational aspect of hypnobirthing. You truly learn the process of the woman's body going through labor. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite and I class to teach and class to take was when we learned how the uterus worked. And it was, so, I mean, literally just the simple visuals. This is your amazing muscle that you get, right? And this is how your baby's coming down the da, 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 da. And I was like, that's amazing. You know, and so then when I teach that, it's one of the first classes that I teach through like what we call the dehypnotizing part of the class, because that's what you have to do is kind of relearn what birth is about. Especially the dads, the birthing companions, like love that part, the physiological birth and the science part, because it doesn't lie, right? I'm not sitting here hypnotizing you. Like that's what people think hypnobirthing. No, it's actually highly educational. And you learn about the process from conception to postpartum. And when you learn about something, really anything, and you become competent in it, then you can become confident in it, right? So the second you start detaching the fears because you're learning about it, then you start getting excited about the process. And I think that's the big difference with Lamaze, with other birthing courses, is it's so much bigger than that.
Yeah. Well, and I keep thinking too that the part of the Bradley method I loved was kind of visualizing what the birthing experience is. And you're kind of breathing into it and not fighting it. And I remember the Lamaze always felt like it was trying to get you to not pay attention to the fact that you were in labor.
Yeah.
And so you're breathing, pretending that you're everywhere but here. And so that never resonated with me. But I loved the Bradley was like going fully into the process. So I like that part.
I
would imagine the hypnobirthing as well. But to also understand, to, as you're talking about visualizing your birth, if you can visualize what your body is doing, oh, that makes so much sense to me. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, our number is 805-781-3875. I forgot to invite people in because I'm sure they have questions. I'm stalling a little bit because I want to walk through the whole hypnobirthing 5 weeks, what that looks like. But I want to kind of set the stage for that as well. Because when you started doing this work, did you imagine, you know, beginning a business, birthing beautifully? Because you just had, you know, your second child and the busyness of your life. And I think you also, you know, are, I don't know if you were accredited to be a Montessori teacher at that time. You were already doing that work as well.
For 7 years.
Yes. So what, I mean, there must have been some strong drive for you to want to do this, start this business. What was that?
There was. It was the drive to empower women and families that they're able to have the births that they deserve.
So who fought back against you on that when you were in the hospital situation? Did you ever get any pushback from professionals?
Not when I was birthing. The birthing, my birthing in a hospital was lovely, but again, I felt empowered and what I teach in the hypnobirthing courses is that you're the paying customer. And the good thing, and also just a side note with hypnobirthing, it really does serve every type of birth. This is not like, oh, and a lot of people think that, oh, hypnobirthing is only for physiological births, unmedicated, vaginal, even home births, you know? And I'm like, no, this is for any type of birth that you want, and it serves you well. So I just wanted to put that out there. Pushback, when I was a doula and I did work for a big hospital in San Diego, not to be named, I guess. Yes, I got some pushback as a doula.
What's the concern? What is the pushback?
Well, if we want to be, I mean, I guess we're always real on this show, right?
I hope
it's a big business. You know, if you're birthing in a hospital setting, they want to make money, and they make money through interventions. And so, breaks my heart. And that's why you asked me, why did I do it with two babies? And I am one of those people that if I'm complaining about something, I want to go do something about it. I'm sick of just talking about it. So that's where it's like, well, I'm going to go get certified because this is the only way I can spread this message, right? Mm-hmm. And change lives. And mm-hmm. knowledge is power. That's the teacher in me too, you know? And it's like, okay, just do it, spread it. And so, yes, it's a big business. And so we teach that in hypnobreathing, that what you can do to get away from the unnecessary interventions. Mm-hmm. And that is another it's very different than if you're getting a birthing class in hospital. They're not going to tell you, they're not going to say, don't do that. They're gonna be like, and if you need help, we got Pitocin. And if you're in pain, we got fentanyl. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. And that's really scary. And so I think, that's a whole nother tangent. I don't know if we need to go into that. I think a lot of people know that already about our medical system.
It's the thing we know, but we don't like to talk about because we don't know what the alternative is.
And this is the alternative. And the alternative is knowing your rights and knowing the questions to ask. So that's a big part of hypnobirthing, especially for that birth companion in the room, right, is to I empower them. They have their own little, laminated PDF sheet that's like the questions that they should be asking and the, can you give us more time? Or, I would like to know more about that. Mm-hmm. Because people tend to feel less powerful than the medical staff. Mm-hmm. Well, and
as soon as you get the thing put on your wrist, you feel very powerless. As soon as you get that bracelet.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Summer Silvera. And we're talking about her passion for hypnobirthing and the power of kind of taking control of your experience in birth. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Think about it. There must be higher love down in the heart and in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart, look inside of mine. Things look so bad everywhere in this whole world. What's fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. Bring me your heart.
Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, and my guest today is Summer Silvera. As I said at the top of the show, I've known Summer for her entire life. I like to say your parents and my husband and I all grew up together, although we were in our 20s, but we all grew up together. And so it's been fun raising children kind of in this group setting and cheering for each other's kids the way we do, and to have you here today is just like really, really wonderful thing, so I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
And so hypnobirthing, you discovered when you were having your first child and got certified as a hypnobirthing instructor, something I had never heard of until I, experienced your success. And I'm assuming that not a lot of people know about hypnobirthing. So I'd love you to talk about, you said it's a 5-week course. Can you walk us through it and what that would look like? What are people signing up for?
Okay, so it's a 5-week course. You get to meet one day a week, like every Thursday night, let's say, for 3 hours, or a weekend, depend on it. And you have a small cohort. It's usually about 6 couples, which is actually really amazing too, because you get to be around other people that are like-minded in there, and you end up being really good friends and all the good stuff. So it really starts with, like I said, that dehypnotizing is the first course of just really talking about why, like, birth is feared. You know? You have those conversations. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. And kind of debunking some of the myths, I think, are really important. And then really learning about, like I said, the woman's body and how amazing birth is. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, we continue on with different breathing techniques. I know that's where the hypnobirth name comes from. Okay. People get kind of nervous with it. Are you going to hypnotize me? Is my partner going to hypnotize me? No, it's a self-hypnosis, right? And we all have been in a state of self-hypnosis, whether you do yoga or you're just like driving and then you forget, right? Yeah. And you like get to your destination. You're like, I don't even remember driving. You were in a state of hypnosis. You know, you're watching TV. You're in a state of hypnosis, right? So it's not scary, but it is a part of the body that you can actually relax in because it's a muscle, your uterus. So that's where you want to do those breathing techniques. So that's a lovely part of it, but it's not all of it. It's just a portion. We do comfort measures. So again, the birthing companion really gets to literally be hands-on, which mm-hmm. is really neat for them because I think a lot of those birth companions, I'm going to use dads just because that's the population I've worked with, but we know that they can look different mm-hmm. and anyone can be your birth companion. Mm-hmm. But the dads
It is important to have a birth companion.
It's very important to have a birth companion and even a birth companion and a doula, which we could talk about later. Yeah. But so the dads that I've worked with loved hypnobirthing just as much, I think, as the birthing mom because they felt so present at the births and they actually felt like they could do something. So that's a big part of the class. Out of the five classes, I take a whole class just dedicated to the birth companion. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to help her with her hips if she's in pain with the back pain? Where's the massage? Where's the light touch? Mm-hmm. How often do you need to make sure she's drinking water, going pee, you know, stuff like that where you truly don't think about it because why would you? We're not teaching our men.
No.
They're not in tribes watching women give birth around like the ones around the world. So we really do need to teach these aspects of birth. Mm-hmm. And then they get to go to the hospital. They're feeling great. And then they have this birth with their wives and their partners. And they're the first ones to call me or see me afterward and hug me and cry.
Yeah.
And just say, I'm so glad I took the course because I felt like I could do something. And I don't think I would have been able to. I would have probably been a bystander, you know, and let everybody else do it. And they got to do it with them. So that's a huge part of hypnobirthing. And then, of course, we talk about postpartum. Like I said, we talk about breastfeeding. We talk about what that looks like for the woman to truly relax afterwards and not try and be the superwoman, get out of bed, make food for everyone. Right. We talk about how you should set expectations for the family and friends coming over to your home.
So what what does that look like? Because I think the cultural story is that you should be working on your postpartum body the minute you walk in the door. So what is the healthiest postpartum trajectory? What does that look like? How much time does it take for bodies to really?
Yeah, in different cultures, there's different ideas. I think the 40-day is really great. You know, just 40 days postpartum, you really should stay in that cave. Mm-hmm. Some women like 5-5-5, where it's like 5 days in the bed, never like do not get out of it. Mm-hmm. 5 days near the bed. So like, yes, you're showering, maybe getting up. And 5 days, I don't know what else. It's like around the house, kind of being outside. So just
really
slow
easy.
And easy and letting people take care of you. And I know that can be hard for some women, including myself. And I learned the hard way. So my second one, I was like, oh, no, I really am taking my own advice. And it was a lot. It was much better for healing and whatnot. We really encapsulating your placenta. I'm going to say it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, let's have a whole podcast on that.
And for those who don't know what you just said, describe what that means.
Encapsulating your placenta. You have to get someone, obviously, that does it and that's certified. And they truly pick up your placenta after you give birth. And it's in a cooler on ice.
Okay.
And they make it where they'd grind it up and they put it into pills and it just looks like a vitamin. Mm-hmm. And we're mammals, right? Every mammal in nature eats their placenta for a reason. Other cultures eat their placenta. So this is actually a lovely way to get those nutrients and hormones back into our body. There's a lot of really good research out there now that replenishes the things that we lose after we give birth. And it's really helpful with postpartum, with stopping bleeding, having your milk come in emotionally, physically. And everyone that's done it loves it. And the moms that haven't done it in the first births did it in the second ones. Those are the ones that you see. They're like, whoa, that was a big difference. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that stuff. There's a lot of just really cool, raw conversations throughout the 5-week course that all help you get excited about birth, the whole process.
And then you talked about the visualization process, which I just find so fascinating. Is that start from class one and you just work it all the way through? Or when does that become part of the story?
I believe I asked them to visualize their births. I want to say in class three, you know, they have to learn a few other things before mm-hmm. they really feel strongly about what their birth is going to look like. And then, like I talked about with the homework aspect, the book, The Hypnobirthing by Marie Mogden, who started hypnobirthing in the 1950s, I want to say, 1960s. She was such a powerhouse woman. She was one of the first women to actually have her husband in the birthing room, right? That wasn't a thing.
No.
They were smoking out.
In
the waiting room.
Getting ready to pass out cigars.
And he was there, and she had to fight for that. So she's an incredible human. And so reading the book is the tool, and having the birth companion read the book is really important. And then we also have a meditative audio track that you get to listen to, which is really cool. So it's affirmations, about 15 minutes of affirmations. I picked the British voice, so it's like, right?
Yes. Little Mary Poppins.
My body
in there
is made for birthing. Mm. And so all these beautiful affirmations mm-hmm. that you can listen to throughout the day, you can fall asleep to. And then there's a relaxation one that you listen to when you go to sleep every night up to your birthing day. And it really just walks your body through a deep relaxation from head to toe. I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to that every night?
It's like a spa.
It is a spa. And on that note, hypnobirthing rooms, if you're in a hospital setting, usually birth centers and home births already do this naturally. But part of hypnobirthing is you learn how to set your hospital room up to look like a spa. Mm. So you bring in your fake candles, mm-hmm. you turn off all the lights, and yes, you get to do that. Mm. And you can. You're the paying customer. I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. And you diffuse your lavender essential oils. You have your music, right? And it's so lovely being a doula in these rooms. All the nurses would come in and they'd be like, wow, this is very different. And then you're also quiet. Mm-hmm. As the doula or birth companion, I encourage you to whisper the mm-hmm. whole time. And so then when the nurses come in and the doctors, they're like whispering.
They get the vibe.
Yeah. And yeah. consent and all that good thing. So you set up your space. Again, it's all those little details that really matter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it sets the attitude, the mindset. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest today is Summer Silvera, and our number is 805-781-3875 if you'd like to be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. So let's transition to the doula piece, because you're also a DONA-certified doula. How does that work into your Birthing Beautifully work? How the two come together?
As I'm an instructor in the class, I obviously, there's certain connections that you have with people, and they're like, will you be my doula? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I would. I think I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I did.
That's
get
a
to,
time commitment too. Oh, not everyone goodness. Has a 6-hour birth.
No. It was wild. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful, and I feel very blessed that I got to be a part of the births that I were at. I mean, what an honor, right? Not mm-hmm. everybody can see a baby be born. So I did that for a while. It was a lot as a mom. And then I was owning my own Montessori school at the time too. And so, you know, babies don't just come, you know, 9 to 5. I'm out there till midnight, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. after being up maybe for 24 hours with these families. So that was really gnarly, but I was also at the same time really energized by it. I know you know how that feels with all the things you do. So I loved it, and I'm thankful for it. It changed me as a human. Just to be a helper in that realm is the greatest gift. I would go back. It's always there. That's the cool thing about birth, you know?
Yeah, once you have those skills.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing it someday for your own.
Totally. But I think with people with doulas, I think a good thing to know is that I would call myself like a birth concierge, right? Where I would just be like, I am not here to run it. I am not here to take your position as a dad or a birth partner. I am here to solely serve you in the way that you want. You want me just to be your photographer? Cool. Mm-hmm. You know? But dads have to go pee and they have to eat too. Right. And they have to take care of themselves to be strong for their birthing mom. And so that's a big part of being a doula. It's not stepping in front of the doctor and saying, stop, no. Mm-hmm. It's not aggressive at all. It's just a beautiful way to help the care team that is a part of the labor process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our number is 805-781-3875 if you'd like to be part of the conversation. Birth Coach Dad from Arroyo Grande, you're on the air.
Hello. Summer, I want to tell you that this is amazing, that the transformation that you have helped happen for birthing women in America is really astonishing how things have changed in just one generation. So good for you.
From your experience?
No, from what I'm hearing today. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say, based on what I'm hearing, that in my experience in the hospital industry with the birth of our daughters and other experiences in the hospital, the professionals that work there, the individuals are intelligent and caring and responsible and dedicated. They work long hours. They're not, you know, I want to be careful not to disrespect medical professionals because they help a lot of people. They save lives.
I agree. And I'm glad you brought that up. That is an important part. And I appreciate you taking the time to call and share that because, yes, nobody does this work because they want to harm others, right? There's no one who's in the birth industry who doesn't want their birthing people to have great experiences. And so that is important because there is a lot of heart that goes into being the support care team.
There is, totally. I think it, because the pendulum has swung so far from, you know, physiological unmedicated births, that the majority of people are getting epidurals and medicated and even scheduled C-sections or scheduled inductions, that when I have, because I've talked to many birth workers and nurses who are amazing, right? It's a hard job because of that.
Right.
So when they do.
Because of the regulations.
Because, and just they're physically doing a lot of work because these moms are not up and moving around by themselves, you know? Right. And so that can get frustrating. It could be long. It can be hard. So what I've seen too is in the medical world, they're like, oh, you're in hypnobirthing? Like, that's so fun. Yay. We can't wait. Like, they get excited about it. But that kind of breaks my heart because we should be the norm. Like, that we shouldn't be heavily medicated and inducing women. Marie Mogden has a beautiful quote, or she speaks to about the induction, you know, inducing women, having them go into labor before they should.
Right.
They're like, she says, would you ever break open a chrysalis before it was ready? You know, and that's something just to remember. Like, 40 weeks is just this crazy number that this man thought of, you know, through some math. And it really is not. Everyone is not 40 weeks. Normal birth, the average is actually 41.5 weeks.
That's the average.
That's the average.
Which means it can go over
that. It can. And in Europe, they totally are. Mm-hmm. So, again, there's a lot of education surrounding that just say, oh, I didn't even know that. Now you do. So now you don't have to be scared when you're 41 weeks. Woohoo! You know, I'm always like, you got this.
I had to fight really hard to have my second birth go over the due date because I was considered a geriatric birth at 35.
Despise that word.
I know. But we passed what was the expected due date, and I said, no, I'm going to stick with it until she's supposed to be here. I'm stuck. But they made me come to the hospital almost every day to keep checking to make sure that everything was fine, which felt more invasive than just letting it ride out. But again, a lot of the protecting, right? Protecting the business, protecting the hospital. I get that as well. But I wish, like you said, we had these conversations when people are young, you know, junior high, when we start doing comprehensive sex education. I think that birthing experience should be part of the comprehensive sex education because it can be the outcome of our sexual lives. And so to, you know, kind of blend that into that, and imagine how much different it would be if we were able to tell the story differently when people were young enough to hear it and they haven't heard all the horror stories yet.
Yeah, we'd call it normalizing birth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, how do we normalize beautiful births that are what we're made to do? We need to talk about it more. We need to celebrate those birth stories that are 6 hours and unmedicated. I think as women, we tend to maybe dim our light around other women because we're nervous that it will make them feel less if they had a C-section or if they had a long birth, if they were medicated. And that is not okay. You know, I think we all need to be celebrated. No matter what birth you have, it's going to be amazing and beautiful. What I tell my clients, my families, is but at least put 100% into the lead up. Like, that's what I get upset about when pregnant women are just like, well, I'm getting an epidural, like you said, or I'm getting induced, or I'm scheduling. And I'm like, whoa, you don't even know how beautiful this process could be. Let's give it a chance. And really, it's your baby's birthday.
Yeah.
They get one shot at this. And the research does not lie of physiological births are healthier on babies. Period. I mean, that just makes sense, right? No medication running through them.
Less traumatic.
There's a lot of studies with that. Evidence-based birth is actually a lovely resource that
that's
you could go to.
Called?
Evidence-based birth, yeah. Instagram, websites, has a lot of great answers and resources there for that. But yeah, you're right. I think we should totally teach it in schools. And I mean, my kids watch me teach hypnobirthing all the time. I'm like, I can't wait for you guys.
Yes, they're going to be able to do it themselves.
Totally.
My guest today is Summer Silvera, and we're talking about hypnobirthing and her experience having successfully, I'm going to say, imagined and then executed births, which I still find fabulous every time I think of those stories, and that you've had so much success training and helping other families be successful as well. So now you're in your master's program, child and family development. What, and you started off as a child development major at Cal Poly.
I did.
Yay. So what was your original intention with these, you know, the education and these degrees? Because hypnobirthing, you kind of just came upon. But what direction were you going in?
I mean, child and family development, it all starts there, right? So it's like that I obviously love teaching children, and I love their beautiful brains and everything child, family, and development. And of course, that starts. And what I've been learning is that 0 to 7 are those foundational years, right? That's where we develop our habits, our subconscious. That's where we really, as you know, as a therapist, quite hard to change the older we get. So we want to have that strong foundation. Well, what is more strong than starting life right out of the womb, even when the mama is pregnant? Like, I wanted to start child development the earliest possible time because that's when I saw was a really reaping benefits of that. And, you know, hypnobirthing also talks a lot about that process, which I don't think other courses do, of what you're doing while you're carrying that baby and how important it is to talk and love. I had one mom say, wait, we're supposed to be talking to our unborn babies in our bellies? Of course, they hear you.
Right.
You know, they're swimming in all your emotions. So that's what kind of led me. I mean, I was a Montessori teacher for 7 years before, but it just made sense. Like, all kind of.
You're just following. You're following your own developmental cycle.
I get to teach college. That's why I'm full
that's
circle.
The goal.
My goal is to, be a college professor because I want to do all ages and stages. I think they're really, really important.
So it's interesting, as you said, 0 to 7, because I think the common span is 0 to 5. You know, we've had a lot of conversations. 0 to 5 is so important, preschool. But you just added 2 more years.
I did.
So what happened? Is that a change in the research?
I mean, that's just what – that's a good question. I mean, it's always been 0 to 7 for me and just the child development world. There we go. Fix my mic.
Yeah, we are. Because those first
those first 0 to 7 years, it's really the thing that's challenging about this conversation as we bump up to the end of the hour to bring up this piece is, as you mentioned, not everyone has the hypnobirth experience, right? They might have a trauma or an emergency C-section. And then there's the guilt or that disappointment that kind of sets it off. And then also for the moms who financially, economically, right, have to be back at work or there's not food on the table. And so the children are going into childcare and they're not having that 0 to 7 experience that they would so like to have. And that's the conundrum for me every time we have these conversations, is I'm so aware of the inequity, you know, in opportunities for families to be able to have similar child-rearing experiences. And I don't know how we write that. I don't know, because a lot of what we're talking about in many ways is privileged. You have to have the access to resources, financially, economically, the grandparents' support, right? All of this team. And when you're on your own, I mean, statistically, over half, between 50 and 75% of all children born today are born to single women. So there in lies our challenge, is we can understand the research that helps us give our children the best start, but then we have to look at the economic realities or the social realities that prevent that from happening. And I think that if I had a dream for your work with your master's degree, is to start looking into how to make these ideals more accessible to the larger population.
I could not agree more.
So thank you for being my guest today, Summer Silvera. I know the hour goes so fast, but if people are interested in birthing beautifully and being a part of hypnobirthing and working with you, how do they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Birthing Beautifully if they would like to. Yes, I'd love to hear from them.
Just leave a message.
And they can leave a message. And if they're interested in a hypnobirthing course around where they live, it is international, so they can go on hypnobirthing.com and find an instructor.
And the book that you mentioned that got you started.
Yeah. And they can definitely get that on Amazon if they just want to read the book. But I highly recommend taking the courses. They're really fun.
That's the best part. Something
really
to look forward
Thank
to.
Thank you so much. This was so amazing.
I'm glad you're here. And this has been A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Send me a message on Instagram or Facebook. I'm happy to help you connect with Summer. You can also listen to previous shows at KCBX.com. And you can podcast our show wherever you find them. Check us out on Spotify and also on YouTube, A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and supporting our community right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. Where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I want to hear it. I don't have the fear that I want to rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old, how magnificently we will fold into the mystic.